The word of the Lord for us to consider is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 12 through 14 and 19 through 24. Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. So far the word of our Lord. Look, I'm not even sure why you asked me to come speak to you tonight. I'm never going to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. I really should have you all arrested just for being Christians. The only reason I did come was to convince you that you shouldn't believe in Jesus either, because he's just a troublemaker. Now, Messiah he was not, but let's be clear, Messiah he certainly claimed to be. Right in front of me, he said that he was the Son of God. I couldn't believe the blasphemy. I'm still surprised that God didn't strike him down with a bolt of lightning right on the spot. I suppose that if he was the Son of God, then we were the blasphemers. Crucify God. Of course, that's ridiculous. God didn't become a man. Why would the Messiah be God anyway? It was such a crazy idea. God's so much above that, so beyond that, so much better than to become a humble man. And besides, we proved that he wasn't God. We killed him. God can't die. And even if he did, what purpose would that serve? Sure, no one's perfect, but our sins aren't really so bad as to warrant the death of God, are they? It's so dramatic. Now, you probably all think I'm this terrible person. You've heard of me, Annas, before. But that's just because the gospel writers were biased against me. They gave me a bad rap. Here's the truth. I did what I did to save the nation. I guess you could say I was the real Messiah. Now, we in the Sanhedrin knew right from the start that Jesus was trouble. John the Baptist was bad enough, but Jesus was so much worse. He got the people all riled up, what with his miracles and his bombastic teaching. He made them think he actually cared for them. And many started to wonder if he might be the Christ. Now, it was our job in the Sanhedrin to test out any messianic claims. Like so many lunatics before him, he clearly believed he was the chosen one. But whenever we tried to pin him down on that, he seemed to evade us. He would say, "Look at the works I'm doing. Listen to the words I'm preaching." It's kind of like when a teacher tries to get you to come to the right answer on your own without just giving it to you. So annoying! Didn't he realize? We weren't interested in being taught. We didn't want to be his disciples. We just wanted to get him to slip up. We just wanted him to say something that we could use against him. But he never did. So we were powerless. He went on getting more and more popular. Maybe you think I was just being jealous and proud. Maybe partially I was, but who cares? You do the same thing, don't you? Then things started to get really serious with Jesus. He raised Lazarus from the dead, and there was no way we could deny it, at least not publicly. I mean, privately, I had my doubts, of course, but there had been so many witnesses, and they were all saying the same thing, and so close to Jerusalem, the people really got excited. They really started to wonder whether Jesus was the Christ and whether we were holding this back from them. What gave them the right to talk about that anyway? We were the experts. And if we said Jesus wasn't the Messiah, then he just wasn't. And they should have listened to us. If this rabid fervor among people continued, the Romans were going to come down on us. And that was the real problem. See, if the people believed that Jesus was God's Christ, they would rise up in patriotic zeal, and the Romans would crush us, taking away our place and our nation. We had to do something about it. My son-in-law, Caiaphas, he had the right idea. Jesus had to be put to death. He said, it is better for you that one man should die than for the whole nation to perish. Now, I know you Christians think that was some kind of unwitting prophecy about how Jesus would die for the sins of the world. That's what John wrote. But that's not okay if this meant. You think Jesus was the Messiah because he was crucified. You got it wrong. We were the Messiahs because we crucified him. By doing so, we saved our nation from the Romans. So it was decided. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, like we were plotting murder. Jesus deserved it. He was a blasphemer. And we didn't do anything illegal. Well, okay, I guess the first trial was illegal. But the one before the sun rose. But that was really the Romans' fault anyway. See, it's because there were two high priests. I was the real high priest. But a few years before, the Romans came along and decided they were going to depose me. And what gave them the right to do that anyway? Men don't have the right to choose the high priest. And once you're a high priest, you should be high priest for life. But it's okay. The people still looked at me as the real high priest. And I had Caiaphas under my thumb most of the time. That's why they brought Jesus to me first. Mine might not have been the legal trial, but it was the real one. And I remember that trial well. It really only had one purpose, one objective. They wanted to get Jesus to admit publicly what we knew he'd been preaching all along. We wanted him to say it right in front of us so that we could nail him to the cross with it. He stood there before me, calm and quiet, the insufferable man. And then he said, why do you ask me about what I've been preaching? I keep saying all these things openly. Go bring in some people who heard me. They'll tell you what I've been saying. Didn't he understand? This wasn't a real trial. We weren't interested in learning what he'd been teaching. We already knew. We just wanted him to say it so we could use it against him. I started getting impatient. So one of my servants slapped him in the face, and boy, did that feel good. Doesn't it feel good to put someone in their place? Not to take anything from anyone and always get your way? I knew I would put Jesus in place for that. Except he just answered, why do you slap me? What did I say that was wrong? Nerve of the guy. He really must have thought he was the Messiah to speak to me like that. And then I remember he looked at me with pity. Like he felt sorry for me. For me, he was the one who was going to die, and he'd find no pity from me. What do people see in Jesus anyway? I don't understand. Why do people think he's such a great Savior? He didn't admit it right before us, but we'd get him to admit it soon, and we did. At the trial before Caiaphas, he said right in front of us that he was the Son of God, that we'd see him coming on the clouds of heaven in power and great glory. What lunacy. What foolishness. We'd see him in the sky, all right, suspended from the cross. And I'm not sorry. We did what we did to save the nation. And that's the other reason that I can't believe Jesus is the Christ. If he was, wouldn't he have cared more about the nation than his own ego? He's getting the people all excited. But he never intended on fighting the Romans. He performed some great miracle like feeding the 5,000, but he clearly wasn't interested in continuing to provide food for them. What kind of a Savior was he anyway? He didn't make their lives better. He surely didn't make my life better. He only caused trouble. Only caused difficulty. And what good would his talk of peace, forgiveness, and paying taxes do when the Romans came and crushed us? Not at all. See, Jesus was just a troublemaker. Why believe in him? I know his disciples say that he rose from the dead, but and even our guards said he rose from the dead, but who cares if he did? I still won't believe in him because he causes nothing but trouble. Instead, I say you should believe in something that will make your life better now. Believe in yourself, isn't that what they're saying these days? Believe in making money. Believe in getting everything your own way all the time. Believe in making sure everybody else respects you and listens to you. Believe in having a comfortable life. That's how I've lived. And see, I've turned out just fine. What good does Jesus bring to anyone anyway? He said he brought good news to the poor, and they were still poor. His words couldn't buy them a new house. His disciples say that through his death and resurrection, he brought eternal life and forgiveness and salvation to all who believe in him. They say his kingdom is a kingdom of peace and righteousness and the forgiveness of sins. I can't see any of that. And I don't even know if there is a life after death. See, I'm a Sadducee, and we don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. This is what I believe. Jesus was no Messiah, only a troublemaker. And the way I see it, you have the same choice I did. You can crucify Jesus. You can be dead to him and live your life in relative peace and ease and comfort. Or you can go on believing in him with all the trouble that that brings, holding out hope of some far-off promise of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I know what I'd rather choose. What about you? Who do you want your Messiah to be? We hear now God's response to Annas from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.' Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him."